What's going on, guys, and welcome to the Say Yes Project, where permission is granted. I am your host, Ariana, and I'm a child of God who is here to help you guys accept the invitation from God and all that comes with it. Before we get started in today's episode, I encourage you to follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify so that you can get the weekly Wednesday drop. I also encourage you to follow us on Instagram at the Say Yes Project Pod so that you can get regular updates on everything involving the show. I believe today's episode is going to be a special treat for my listeners, for people who are tuning in for the first time. I am so excited and so enthusiastic to talk about this particular topic. So, as you can see from the title, we're talking about waiting. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I have constantly had to wait for things in my life. You may know the periods of life that you're waiting for something, and that can bring a lot of different emotions and feelings when we think about this concept of waiting. A lot of times we find ourselves in more of our questioning phase in a waiting stage. We will call things like waiting seasons. Maybe it's on a particular season, like this is a pruning season, a growing season. Like I'm not going to get to what I want to get to right now. It's more focused on me waiting on God to open the door for opportunities for me to experience love, for me to experience, you know, motherhood. If you are trying to get pregnant or your partner is trying to get pregnant, you know, it's like feels sometimes like a constant waiting game with God, where we're like, Lord, I'm going to wait for you for anything. And we're just patiently sitting back and doing so. So that's what I want to center our minds towards in this conversation today, is the things that you are waiting for. I want you to think about them in your head, whether it's marriage, whether it's a business opportunity, whether it's a promotion at your job, whether it's children, or whether you're just waiting on the Lord to speak to you. This is going to be especially for you, and I want you to keep it in mind. So where did I come to this conclusion? Like, what did God press on my heart to make me want to decide to talk about waiting? Well, it starts in the good old fashioned Bible, right? So currently I'm doing a Bible study with a friend and her parents, and we are just traveling through the first books of the Bible. So all of the Old Testament we're in. And I find that to be really refreshing. If you're a new believer, you may want to start with the Gospels, but like if you are kind of been building your faith a little bit more, going to those first few books will humble you, because you will see that a lot of the foolish things that we say, think that, oh, we would never do, is going to sound a lot like repetition, because we would do it too. So now, as we've embarked on most of the first Genesis, Exodus, all of those things, now we're in 1 Samuel. So we kind of took a break for the holidays and came back. So I've been kind of getting back into reading Samuel. And I realized something that was something that I never think I remembered from like Bible school or children's church or anything like that. And I think a lot of times we kind of skip past a little bit of the mundane details to get to the deliverance message or the prosperity message or whatever that is for you in your church or in your movement, right? But I noticed something very stark. So we are encountering David. So if you are unfamiliar with who David is, David was a shepherd. He was the youngest of his siblings, and he ended up becoming anointed by God and a man after God's own heart. He took over for Saul, the King Saul, and became the king of Israel. And many believe that he was the greatest king to have lived. And just to go a little bit further, he is also a part of the bloodline where we eventually get Jesus. So David's a pretty important person if you're studying this word. But one of the things I realized is that David enters onto the scene as the shepherd, like I said, the youngest of those, because Samuel, the prophet Samuel, is searching for the new king because King Saul had been rejected. He did not honor God. He was very disobedient. He worried more about how people would view him versus how God would view him. And he trusted people more than he trusted in the Lord. So God, in all of his infinite wisdom, recognized, like, okay, you're no longer putting me at the forefront of your mind. So I'm going to have to take my anointing off of you, take my hand off of you, and put my hand on somebody else. Which, by far, reading the Bible, that is one of the scariest lines to think about, where God says, I'm taking away my anointing off of your life. That means we're pretty much out here, probably, like, if we could put an imagery to it, like stark naked. Do you know how vulnerable you have to be when you are stark naked? That's pretty much where Saul was. So when we get to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, this is where, you know, Samuel has gone and looked and trying to find who it is, because the Lord has told him that it's going to be in the house of Jesse. So Jesse brings out all of his quote unquote better sons. But eventually the Lord is like, it's not these sons. There's somebody left. And we end up with David. And if you read, it says that, then the Lord said, anoint him, for he is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brother. And the spirit of the Lord came powerfully on David that day forward. Then Samuel set out and went to Ramah. So that's the first introduction in the Bible of David being anointed to be the next king of Israel. But if you keep reading, you realize that we don't really see David becoming king until 2 Samuel verse 5. And in my study Bible, it said it took 15 years for David to become the king of Israel. What? Like, I would have had so many conversations with God at that moment to say, like, okay, so when is this going to happen? Because you anointed me back then. Is your anointing not true? Is your anointing not justified? But I mean, that's why I'm not David, and David is David. He didn't ask those questions. He recognized his anointing, but he did not become prideful in it. He just, you know, he accepted the anointing and went forward in life for 15 years. So why do I bring up David? David is just another one of many examples in the Bible of God making his people, his chosen people, wait. And a lot of times in this society, especially if we're talking about 2025, we are an instant gratification group of people. It's because of the advances in technology. We have these phones that we can access information very quickly. We have people who can, you know, get groceries dropped off at their door. We have Amazon Prime that comes in a day as soon as you put the package in sometimes, right? So that does not garner for a society, for a group of people who are good at waiting. Instead, it makes us impatient. It makes us complainers. It makes us people who are not putting our trust in God. We are now putting our trust in humans, in material, in any of these things. And I'm not speaking of this as if my hand is not raised to say that I do the exact same thing. So what do you do in these periods of your world, in your life, where you realize, like, oh, God, I'm going to have to wait on you. Like, I'm going to have to wait on your presence. I'm going to have to wait on your deliverance. I'm going to have to wait on you to open these doors. How do we wait well? And I want to challenge the people who are experiencing that notion where they are waiting on God for something and wanting him to make deliverance on their lives. I want you to go back to David. So what did David do in his waiting period? I think that that's important to recognize. So David, in all of that waiting, took up in Saul's court. So he took on a humility cloak over himself and began to operate underneath the very man that he was going to take his place for. So he didn't have walk into the room and say like, oh, well, God has anointed me, so Saul, get out the way. It's time for my time. No, he humbled himself to continue the work that God had set for him. We also know that during this period of time, he slayed Goliath. Like, out of everybody who saw this giant, and let's just put into perspective how big Goliath was, because I think we talk about it, but we don't really talk about it. Goliath was over 9 feet tall. So pretty much, if you are a basketball head, he was the size, he was bigger, really, than Victor Wembanyama, who is like 7'4". So he's taller than him. And when you see him play on the court, you already think he looks like a freak of nature, right? Like, no shade, but he looks big. He looks tall. He looks lanky, right? And this giant was bigger than him. And he was more muscular than him. That's Goliath. That's what he looked like. And so David probably was maybe 6 foot, maybe. They don't make it clear how tall he was in comparison, but he wasn't 9 feet. And all he had was the things that God equipped him with, which was his slingshot. It's the same thing that helped him slay a bear, slay a tiger. Or was it a tiger? Or was it a bear and a lion? It was a bear and a lion. There was no tiger. But that's what he used to do the Lord's bidding in that moment, prior to him becoming the king of Israel. So why is that important? Well, a lot of the battles that we fight in our waiting period is going to be used for our inheritance that we receive on the other side of the battle. So the reason it maybe was even easier for David to come into his throne is because they saw what he did with Goliath. So we have to think about that. Like, he did not wait idly, right? And I'm going to pivot a little bit away from David for a moment to kind of navigate why it might be hard for some of us to experience a healthy waiting season or waiting period. Because I was just about to say it, right? We label our seasons as our waiting period as a season. So what is a season? I looked up the seasons for the weather, and between each season, it's between 89 and 94 days. Think about that. That's the time frame. There's a time frame between seasons. If we think about episodes of shows, like if there is the first season, you may get 10 episodes, you might get 20 episodes, but there's a fixed amount that's happening in this collection of a season. So if we decide to say there is a waiting season, right? Like, there's a wait, like, I'm just going to be waiting in my season, you know, that's what I'm going to do until, you know, the Lord comes and, you know, he's going to rip off the walls for me, or to rip off the roof for me in this waiting period, in my waiting season. But in that notion, we are now putting God in a time frame, in a timeline. And God does not operate like that. He doesn't operate within the barriers of time frames. And if we put him in those time frames, it becomes harder for us to see anything differently. So I want to go to my Bible in where it says 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. And it talks about that, for as the righteous man has lived, was in 2:8. 3:8 says, dear friend, don't overlook this one fact. With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. So I saw a running joke on Instagram that said that Jesus has only been gone for 3 days, technically. Because if God sees 1,000 years as one day, it's only 2025. So really, yeah, like, it's only been like 2.5 days, really. That's how time doesn't mean anything to him. If we think back to like Genesis, whenever you read some of those like ages of people before they died, they lived to be 900 years old. God has no regard for time, for like the physical representation of time that we ascribe towards. So putting him in a time frame is you know, futile at best. Like, it doesn't do anything for him because he may think that you haven't waited long enough. He feels like you still need to wait because it doesn't compute for him. So if we look at it like that, then yeah, if we look at it as a season, it's very hard to look at you suffering, it feels like, for 2 years, or even if you feel like you've been suffering for 20 years, it's hard to see the perspective that I can continue to be waiting if I'm already putting a fixed time frame. Like, well, God, you're going to deliver this for me in 30 days, which he could. Like, let's not diminish what God can do. And I'm not trying to do that at all. Like, God could fix something in 3 days. We already see that he defeated sin and grave in 3 days. So we're not going to put, like, I'm not saying that he can't do it in a shorter time, but I'm also not, what I am saying is that to put the time frame on him lessens his effectiveness. It lessens the power of his deliverance. It lessens how you even are able to view something. Let me ask you this. If you had to wait for something for 2 days, would you appreciate it if you had to wait for 20 years? You may have a whole new sense of appreciation if you had to wait longer than you deem necessary. Another good example of, like, being aware of taking God out of these time frames, I would say, comes from Isaiah 43, 15 through 9. While I'm not going to read all of that, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit of it, and then I'm going to read directly what it says. And if you don't already notice, Isaiah 43 is clearly one of my favorites. I've gotten a lot of revelations from it. But what God is speaking of is the redemption of the Lord, right? And what he uses as a great example was what the people in the Old Testament would have been very familiar with, which was the Exodus, which was God delivering them from Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, and getting them to the other side, to the promised land. And that's what it pretty much talks about, is how he, you know, makes the sea, you know, part for them, and how the chariots were swallowed up in those things. But even in that moment, God says, do not remember the past events. Pay no attention to things of old. Look, I'm about to do something new. Even now it is coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. So pretty much what's being said in that moment is that, yeah, I want you to remember what I've done for you, because that helps you understand what I can do for you in the future. But don't hold me to that. Don't make it where, like, oh, like, God did this for me and this is all he can do for me. So, like, now we're still putting him in boxes that he has not asked for, nor does he require. So that's something to think about when we're going into, like, okay, my waiting season, my waiting period, you know, all of these kind of nuanced words. I would encourage you instead to say it in a phrase of my waiting journey. Like, I'm the journey of waiting. So even if you have specific things, like, right, like single season, you're not in a single season. You're journeying through life as a single person, as a single woman, as a single man, because God values a single person, contrary to what the church will say at times. Like, false doctrine will say is that, you know, he wants us all to be married. Marriage is not guaranteed. Let's say that. But God cherishes the single people, because you can do things in your single season that you can't do in a marriage journey. I'm still saying season. Even I have to work on not saying season. So in your single journey, you may be able to do so many different things that you really can't do in your marriage journey, because your marriage journey has you attached or has you connected to another living body that you now have to either submit to or you have to respect. So, for example, right now, currently, I am doing a consecration fast. I didn't have to consult with anybody about it because I'm a single woman right now. I got to pour into my intimacy with God right now and not have to worry about, oh, I got to take care of my husband. I got to make sure it's okay with him. Like, I can't just not eat and he just not eat. Like, we got to kind of either do this together, or we have to decide as a unit that maybe this isn't what we want to do, right? Or at least I would have to consult with him, have a conversation with him. Like, it still might be fine for me to do, but like, that's an added step that in your single journey you don't have to do. So whether it's your single journey, whether it's your business journey, like, or if it's just your all around journey with God, like you're trying to become this amazing, you know, believer and all of these different things, it still may be a journey to that. So like, let's not forget that the same God that parted the seas is the same God that can work miracles in your life and give you something new. We just have to embrace it as a journey versus embracing it as a season that has an end date. That's why I'm gonna finally disclose this, because I haven't really said it. My occupation, the thing that I do for money, is I'm a licensed therapist. So a lot of times I'm talking to clients about, how do you do some of these things well? Like, how do you wait well? How do you, you know, think, get the things of your desire, the desires of your heart, you know, different things like that. And a lot of times the thing that runs up against them is that they're attached to the outcome. Like, okay, so if I wait, then God will give me. And it's like, well, no, that's not how it works. You wait because you are honoring the God that has told you, hold on. Yeah, I want you to be married, but I don't want you to be married to just anybody. There is a man that I am perfecting. There is a woman that I am perfecting that is going to be just for you. Yeah, I want you to have riches in your business, right? Because even one of the scriptures that really helped me in 2024 is Psalms 27:13, I'm sorry. That says, I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. So God desires for you to see the things, you know, here in the present where we're alive and we have, you know, oxygen in our breath and like all of these different things. But at the same time, if I say, hold on, not yet, that's not a punishment to you. But if you're so attached to the outcome of your prayers, of your visions, of what society tells you you're supposed to be at, then yeah, by all means, you will find yourself constantly disappointed, constantly hurt, feeling like God has abandoned you, feeling like God has rejected you, that he doesn't want you to have this opportunity, that he doesn't want you to have this relationship, that he doesn't want you to have healing in your body, that he doesn't want you to have healing in your mind. Yeah, you'll constantly be feeling like that. So I have to tell clients, like, detach yourself from the outcome and just do what is in your capacity to do right now. So let's go back to David for a moment, and talk about how when we finally get him to the point of, you know, he's, you know, slain Goliath and he has, you know, wrestled in the wilderness, and he's been avoiding, like, he's avoided capture because Saul knows that the anointing of God has been lifted off of him. And that's something to think about. The enemy knows when there's an anointing on you. So he will do things in your waiting period to distract you, or your waiting journey to distract you and push you off the land, or push you off the person that you're intended for by distractions and nonsense. So just like that, that's what Saul was doing to David. He was pursuing him. He was chasing after him. He was trying to put him in death's door, like all of these different things. So David, in his wisdom, continued to be a good steward, continued to follow God's word, continued to, you know, do the things that would honor God versus honor himself or honor Saul. So if we go back to David, give me a moment. Let me take a sip of water because my mouth is getting dry. And I'm back. That was perfect. Oh, thank God for water. So refreshing. But if we go back to David in that space, so based on my study Bible, I think I said it before, he waited 15 years before he was crowned the king of Israel. Even before him being crowned the king of Israel, he was crowned the king of Judea. So chapter 2 Samuel chapter 5 verse 3 through 4 talks about when he was the shepherd or the king over Judea. It says in Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. So even he had a even more, maybe even to some people's standard, a lowly assignment before he was exalted up to the king of Israel. So even if you look at your life like that, like there's some people, there's some opportunities, there's some, you know, situations that God wants you to steward well before he continues the anointing that he already promised you. And that's one of the things we have to always remember to bank on. Like, God has always said that he was going to get us through situations and he was going to be right there with us. Not that we weren't going to go through storms and tribulations and trials in the process of getting there. So even him doing that might have been like, I want you to see if you will steward this well before I provide you with the next thing, which he does. He still honors God. Even when there are people that are trying to, now knowing that Saul has died, because Saul, trigger warning, committed suicide. But even in that space, he still did not take over before he was ready. He even, I mean, David was low-key a gangster, if we really think about it, which many of these people in the Bible were. But he pretty much would kill people who were trying to get him higher and think that that was going to get them a place in his palace or in his court. He said no, like, because he wanted for anything that he got to be from the hand of the Lord, not from people. Even my study note talks about when it gets to verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 1 through 12, the narrator demonstrates yet again that David did not take the throne of Israel by force or tolerate brutality that was allegedly done in the Lord's name. David recognized that the Lord protected him from danger and he alone would establish David's throne. So he was able to sit back and wait and still do God's, you know, his bidding, his all that he had desired for him, because he understood that the only person that can put me on that throne is God. Just like the only person that could put Saul on that throne was God. We have to recognize that as well, that like some doors that like are unlocked, but they're a little bit jammed, we can't open them. That might be God saying, not yet. I want you to steward this. I want you to steward your romantic relationship in a godly way, like heavy on the godly way, before I enter you into covenant marriage, because covenant marriage is going to come with a whole different level of trials and tribulations, but also joy and love. I may want you to steward over well your small business before I let you have a boom in like purchases and things like that. So we have to be comfortable a lot of times that the Lord knows what he's doing and we don't have to be all in the mix of it. I think that that's one of the things I've learned as a believer recently, is that like God really don't need us to do his stuff, but he wants to work through us if we submit and we surrender to him. And that's what the waiting journey looks like, is when you submit to him and you surrender to him, that you are now able to allow God to work in the most mighty way in your life, right? So I've said a lot, and I don't know how long I'm going to be doing episodes, like the length of time. We're just going to, when it ends, it ends. When God tells me to stop talking, I'll stop talking. But how can we wait well? You're wondering that as I've said all of these things of like, well, I'm not like David. I don't know if I'm a woman or a man after God's heart. Well, that's already a lie, because you are. But you may be thinking that I don't have the strength that David has. I don't think I can wait that long. I don't think I can wait 15 years for me to be put on the throne of glory. Like, I don't know, right? This is what I would impart on you, is two different things. Well, three different things. One is continue to do the good work in your waiting journey. That's what David did. He just continued the good work. He did not stop. He did not wait. He didn't just sit on his hands and just twiddle with them to see like, okay, when is God going to do this great thing? Like he was an idol. He worked. even if we look back into one of the ones that you probably hear all the time, which is James chapter 2, verse 26, it says, "For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without work is dead." So you can believe something all day long, but if you don't put any action towards it, and not action towards the outcome, but action towards the effort, you will just be looking at God and God will be looking at you, right? So I know we're not necessarily feeling this person right now, but if we always think about that gif of that guy and Diddy at that, whatever that show was, and they were just looking at each other and blinking, I believe that that is how God is looking at us. When we're like, okay, God, I'm going to wait on you to do a miracle in my life. I'm going to wait on you for the spouse. I'm going to wait on you for the business. I'm going to wait on you for the promotion. And God is just looking at us blinking like, okay, so when are you going to start? Because I'm waiting on you. Because I've already told you that you're going to be married. I already told you you're going to be, or I told you you're going to be single. I told you you're going to have the business, the flourishing business. I told you that you're going to be at the top of your career. I told you that I gave you salvation. So I didn't say I'll show you first and then you go. I told you to go and I will show you. Another person to think about in this like whole like doing the good work even when everything isn't together is Moses, right? Because Moses, you know, did not feel like he was an eloquent speaker. He didn't think that he had the thing that the people of Israel were going to need for their exodus. But God told him, go make the way. I will show you, but go. So it wasn't until he went that these things happened. If we think about Abraham, I will go leave your father's house and I will make you the father of many nations. He wasn't going to do that sitting in the same place that he always had been. He had to go. He had to pursue, right? So maybe that looks like, okay, I know I want to be in this building. I see this building all every day. I pass by it. I'm going to drive up to that building, park in the parking space I want to park in, and say, in Jesus' name, I'm going to be there. Maybe you said, oh, I want my house when I get married to look like this. Well, make your house look like that now. And then prophesy over it, right? And I don't want to get too caught up in the word prophesy, but what I mean by that is like speak it into existence. God has already gave you the promises. He's already gave you the anointing, right? So like if you said that I'm going to be cooking dinners for my husband so when he gets home, he's well fed, then how about you start cooking dinners for yourself? Cook the dinners that you would make for your husband so that you are more well versed in the lifestyle that you will eventually enter into when your waiting journey has ended. Right? I want to take care of my kids like this. I want my business to look like that. Start making that mood board. Get on Canva. Get on Pinterest. Do the things that we have readily accessible to us that God has given us to visualize and participate in the thing that's going to happen, right? I was listening to a podcast where the woman had experienced cancer. She was battling cancer. And that's what she said. She was like, when I get into the bathroom and I was like, well, Lord, when I'm cancer free, I'll dance. So let me dance right now. So she would dance in the bathroom, right? That's what we have to start doing. Like we have to participate in the thing that we already know that God has anointed us to be a part of. So that's a really good way to wait well, is to not wait on your hands. Don't just look to the heavens and say, okay, God, they're going to come out of the sky. Now, God could do that, but that's not what he might want you to do. Sis, if you want to be dating, or brother, if you want to be dating, how about you go outside and not in places that you know you're not going to find your spouse, but like go to stop running about the church. If you go to church, stop running about the church and rush into your car. How about you sit and mingle with people? Your husband might be right there. Your wife might be right there. And again, I'm saying all this knowing that the Lord is telling me the same thing. Stop running about the church, right? Because it's so easy to just keep pushing, but then be praying for this thing from God that can't happen without you putting some motion into it, right? How about we stop talking to people who are not fulfilling our mission to being husbands and wives? Let's stop engaging in business practices with places that don't align with our business, right? That's what you do in this waiting period. David didn't wait on his hands. So that's the first thing. The second thing is prayer. Stay in prayer. Call to the Lord who has been the host of many, right? The holy host, right? And you see one of the more famous scriptures is in Matthew. And it happens in the other gospels as well, but we're going to read it from Matthew's perspective. It says in Matthew 7:8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And that's in your prayer life, right? Like, we're sitting in prayer doing these like beautiful prayers of like, oh, Father God, thank you for all that you have done. And like, yeah, you should do that too. But like, God knows that you have a desire in your heart. He knows exactly what's in there. So why not? Let's get real with God and say, hey, God, you promised me that if I asked, you would give. And if I seek, I would find. And if I knocked, you would open the door. So right now I am asking you, God, to open these doors. I ask for my business to thrive. And don't shortchange yourself either. Don't go in there talking about some, God, I want 200 orders when you really want 2,000. Ask the Lord for what you want. Now, will you receive it the next day? That's not what I'm saying. No. But you have put into the ether something that you trust within your heart. And that's really what God wants to see. Are you going to trust him with your desires? If we look back at Psalms 37:3-4, oftentimes this scripture is taken out of context because we focus on the latter part of it. But let's listen to the whole part. It says, trust in the Lord and do what is good. Dwell in the land and live securely. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desire. So you have to delight in him. So that means you have to be in your prayer room, and that means you have to ask, and that means you have to seek, and that means you have to knock. So that means you have to take delight in him. That means you have to worship him. You have to, and not that it's a genie situation where you're rubbing the lamp and asking for three wishes, but you're saying, God, I trust you with my finances. I trust you in my love life. I trust that you will be the God who promised his children that they would, he would deliver them from Egypt, that you told Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, that you held Esther in great regard, that you were the same God that said that Jesus was coming, and Jesus came and he was sacrificed and he resurrected him. He was resurrected and he gave us everlasting life. That's the God that I serve. So let me pray in my prayer time and not shortchange myself and not limit what God can do for my life. For what? So that you can feel disappointed when it doesn't happen, but you never ask, you never seek. If you ask not, you will not. One, my uncle growing up always used to tell me, like, because I would be timid about asking for things from him. And he told me, like, Ariana, the worst thing I can say is no. And I'm not going to say no to you because I love you. So that created a pendulum for me. Like, it became a standard for me where I said, okay, well, can I get some Burger King? Can we go to the movies? Can we go to the mall? Can I do this? And even when it was a no, it was not a definitive no. It normally would be like, no, not right now, maybe later. But I still got the Burger King. I still got to go to the movies. It just didn't happen exactly when I wanted to. And that's why you pray. And even if we go to 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says pray consistently. I think another interpretation says incessantly, like you're constantly in prayer. So like, don't just pray and then be done with it. It's prayer is a verb. So it's an action. You have to keep doing it. You have to keep being a part of it. So that your waiting journey knows that, like, okay, I can continue to wait because I know God has heard me because I am constantly in prayer with him about it. And I'm very direct and I'm very intentional and I'm holding him to his promises because he wants us to hold him to his promises. And then I think that's the only ones that I have right now. And there's plethora of ways that we can pray and ask. And again, this does not mean that you're going to get exactly what you want. You are going to get what God feels like you need. And even if we have to get to the point of acceptance, and acceptance is a hard one, the accepting that I'm in this journey of life and there's some things that God is never going to deliver me from. So he may never take the addictions out of your mouth. He may never take them. That might be the cross that you bear, but that doesn't mean that he's not going to continue to take care of you, that he's not going to continue to pour into you, that he's not going to continue to just be the Lord over your life. One of my homegirls, really good homegirl, we sat on her couch and we were talking about just me waiting, especially when it came to relationships and things like that. And she told me, if God stopped giving you anything right now, like he told you that your blessings are done, like there's nothing more for you, would you still be satisfied? And I realized in that moment that I wouldn't be. And she said, well, if you're not satisfied, pray to God for some satisfaction. So that's where I started to do the good work. And even now, as I'm talking to you guys about my waiting journey, I'm still in my waiting journey. I still believe that God has intended for me for certain things in my life, but they have not come to fruition. And I'm becoming more comfortable with that, but that doesn't mean I'm becoming complacent. That means that in this waiting period, this waiting journey that I'm experiencing in this sector, I'm letting duality happen where I'm longing for the thing that I'm waiting for, but I'm also rejoicing in what God has done, because God has definitely shown up and showed out in my life in so many different areas. And he's even given me the tools and the finances and the opportunities to continue to do the things that I want to do, even if it's not with a partner, even if it's not my business being right where I want it to be, even this podcast that is going to grow and prosper itself. I'm content with, if only 11 people listen to this, then I have done a good job and I've done a good work for him. And if I steward this well, and if I continue to steward this word well in my waiting journey, that means that it can only go up from here, because I have a God who is in abundancy, that he has so much that he can offer us. We can't limit him. So if that is your struggle and that is something that you want to work on, go back to the three ways that I said that you can wait well, because that's important as a believer, is to wait well. And when you wait, you're waiting, just know that God is going to be always on time, even if it's not your time. So please, I pray over each and every one of you that are hearing this podcast, that you will learn how to wait well, that you will look up to the Lord of hosts, to our Yahweh, to our Abba, and say, Lord, I will wait on you. I am going to surrender myself. But as I wait on you, I'm going to do the things that you have asked me to do. That's what I pray for each and every one of you. So that is it for today. I pray that this episode gave you another reason to say yes to God. Continue to press in. And as Luke wrote in his Gospels, the heavens are rejoicing over your decision. Love and blessings.